Shall I pray for us? God, our Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that you would do us good. And just for our next few minutes, we pray that you would get your word inside of us. We want to grow in knowing you and loving you and also in loving one another. Pray the same for our children and our young people meeting elsewhere. So please, would you be our helper? In Jesus' name, amen. One of the chief tools given by God to help us is one another. The family of the church is meant to be a place not only where we proclaim the gospel with our words, and that is one of the jobs of the church, isn't it? To be a herald of the gospel, but also in our relationships to display the power of the gospel. Now, if you are with us through our preaching series in Ephesians, was it last term or the term before? I've lost track. It was last term. That will hopefully not be a surprise. Now, in your Bibles, would you turn up, please, Ephesians? Our God has the most astonishing vision and plan for local churches like ours. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. His plan was, verse 10, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. So the job of the church, the local body of believers, is to make God's wisdom known. And the first couple of chapters have explained what that is. Bringing people like us to God, and bringing people who humanly ought to hate one another together in a loving family. You know, for them back then, the greatest human chasm ever erected between Jew and Gentile overcome within one Christ-centered family. And as the church lives out that identity, they display God's wisdom. So the Lord has a very, very, very high view of what he can do and will do through our own body of Christ. If you look down to chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, we can begin to see how that is put into practice. So pick it up, verse 11. And he, that's the risen Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So there we can see that the normal ministry of the church involves pastor teachers doing their job in order that, do you see verse 12, the saints might do theirs. The work of ministry, the work of serving one another, the work of building up the body of Christ is actually achieved by the saints. That's every Christian, every person who through the gospel and through the work of the Holy Spirit has been set apart for the Lord Jesus. Now, most of us, if we've been a Christian more than 5 minutes, we know that part of being a Christian is caring for one another within the body of Christ. How you do that? Well, actually, that's something to be learned. Bits of it are very not intuitive. There are things that work against it. For example, we live in an increasingly busy world. Lots of things work to make our relationships thinner and more superficial. It's very tempting in such a world to leave care, in inverted commas, to professionals, sort of abdicate that to someone else. That's just one thing that works against it, not to mention just common or garden sin. You know, God gathers sinners together and to himself. It's like a marriage, isn't it? It is no surprise, is it, when you join sinners together in an intimate union, that there can be both wonderful joy but also terrible grief. Now, as a result, nearly every Christian who has been a Christian more than 5 minutes will have experienced awkwardness in the local church. At one time or another, we will have all, I expect, felt ignored or misunderstood or out of place. And there's that tension, isn't there? It's the body of Christ, but it doesn't always function as the body ought. And our aim in these Sunday school sessions this term, it's kind of to build on where we were in Ephesians last term. The headline for the whole term in the adult Sunday school is caring for one another, growing meaningful relationships. That's the aim. And you know, for lots of us, there'll be new things to learn. There'll be things to keep on doing. There'll be things to repent of and work at. And our hope is that we'll be biblical, obviously, but we'll also be simple and practical. Really, there'll be just kind of one thing each week. Perhaps there'll be an attitude to cultivate and pray about, and maybe an action to try and enact. So I'm just going to skim through the kind of territory we'll be going over on these Sunday mornings. Today, our theme, which I'll explain in a minute, with all humility. Where we begin. Next week, learning what it is to move towards other people, not away from them. You know, in any relationship, you've got to make a choice at a certain point, don't you? Do you go towards or do you actually run away from another person or a body of people? We're going to try and learn what it means to do that with a biblical understanding. Understanding our hearts, our own and others, and with a growing understanding of the circumstances of life that make us the kind of people we are. We're going to try and let the Bible move us towards being loving and personal, full of scripture, because we know that's powerful truth, and increasingly quick to pray, because we know that we can only bless one another when we actually bring one another to our sovereign Lord. We'll learn, we hope and pray, to be increasingly real and honest about suffering and about sin, because the Christian is always simultaneously a saint, a sufferer, and a sinner. Now, two of those realities will drop away in the new creation, but before heaven, we are all simultaneously saint and sufferer and sinner. And it's as that we try and help and care for one another. And so our aim, we pray, is that the Lord will use this time to bless and grow our own life as the body of Christ, but also trust and expect it to bless other relationships as well, because the kind of things we're talking about, godly biblical relationships, well, it's really the kind of stuff we ought to be finding and seeing in our marriages, in our families, in friendships, and so on too. So I hope it will be really, really useful. Our theme for today, with all humility. Now, in Ephesians, if you've still got Ephesians open in front of you, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul starts applying what he's been teaching. Now, here is the thing to notice. Just look at the very start of Ephesians 4. Paul says, I therefore, you know, in the light of everything I've told you about what God the Father has accomplished through the work of the Son and the Holy Spirit, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And what is the first thing that comes out of his mouth? Now, what is the first thing at the top of the prayerful shopping list for a local church that actually displays the power of God in its life? With all humility. And then the verse goes on with a whole bunch of other godly virtues that flow out of that humility. Now, we are familiar, I take it, with the opposite of humility. I think it looks like this. At root, anti-humility, pride, says, I am the king of my universe. I am at the center. And therefore, I want you to serve me, admire me, give to me. Sometimes we say that effectively to God. Sometimes we actually say that implicitly to one another. Sometimes actually to one another. Being the king of my universe, pride sometimes also expresses itself often in prideful ambition. I can do it. Sometimes it's achievement. Sometimes it's fixing problems. Sometimes it's refusing to accept help. But at root, pride is when sinful human beings aspire to being God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence on him. Now, God's response to pride in the Bible is clear and unambiguous. He says things like Proverbs 8, I hate pride and arrogance. He says, Proverbs 16, the arrogant is an abomination to the Lord. Now, turn and talk with whoever you're sitting next to just for a couple of minutes. How might we see pride in a church? And shock horror, we do. But then think also, why is pride fatal to human relationships? So go for it. Just talk with one another for a few moments. Just a couple of folks share with us, why is pride so harmful to human relationships? And obviously, you know, ultimately it will keep a person from the Lord, but even just among Christians horizontally in our human relationships, why is pride so harmful? Just
we were saying that if we're not prepared to kind of confess what we're really like, the things we struggle with and our suffering, then actually it kind of raises the standard constantly as to what we all think we should be like, rather than letting us all go, phew, you know, it's not just me, praise God. And being able to then point each other to the Lord Jesus and to the cross and to just bask in the glory of grace and forgiveness that we've all received.
Thank you. It is terrible to be left thinking, is it only me, isn't it? Yeah. Go on, Kush.
It is fundamentally a part of the church. That is how God has planned it, that we should help one another, meet one another's needs. So if we reject that, then that is pride operating and destroying our relationship.
Thank you. You're actually saying no to something that God has given, actually, aren't you? Yeah.
We're just saying, instead of seeing ourselves on a level playing field, as you described it, saint, suffering, sinner, pride would be that we're ever looking left and right and trying to pitch ourselves relative to, mm-hmm. always looking for the person we can pitch ourselves slightly above. And that's damaging to relationships because you're trying to set yourself against one another rather than see yourself as being before the Lord.
I guess part of Christian humility, it's kind of happy reality, really, isn't it? And an acknowledgement of personal weakness, you know, I can't do and fix everything, and also of personal sin. And that then leads you to say, you know, from the heart, I need Jesus, number one, but also, because it's part of Jesus' plan, we need one another. It's that spirit, isn't it? You know, I need, you know, I can't, dot, 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 and therefore I need. I need Jesus, and I need others. I mean, you could even go home and ask someone who knows you well, you know, dangerous question, do you think I'm a proud person? This is not me, this is hypothetically. I can go home and ask Elizabeth, or ring her up, she's in Ireland. Do you think I'm a proud person, and what does that look like? What's mean? Anyway, dare you. One specific and obvious Bible remedy to pride, one positive way to express humility, is in prayer. So turn over to the second side of the handout. And in your Bibles, please, could you turn on to 1 Peter chapter 3? No, 1 Peter chapter 5 even. 1 Peter chapter 5. And in the Black Church Bibles,
1016.
Is page 1016. So humility in practice, well, first stage, simply the humble Christian prays. So have a look, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Now, those are really precious verses to log away and to lean upon. Do you notice they encourage us to and command of us not just humility toward God, but actually humility toward one another. The way we express our humility before the Lord is by giving up on our pride and then casting our anxieties upon him. And why is that, if you like, humility in action? Because it's saying, I can't. You know, I can't fix myself because I'm a sinner. I can't fix my circumstances because I'm weak. But I trust, Lord, that you are mighty and you care for me. So do you see, prayer is really a spirit-worked humility spoken, turned into action. So the encouragement, and this is true every day of our lives, we're to identify our troubles, and there are always plenty. We're to identify our troubles, be it money or health or relationships or work. Maybe it's troubles specifically to do actually with knowing the Lord Jesus and walking with him, and cast them upon him. Tell him about them. Second stage, how do you do that? Well, pray scripture. I've summed it up like this. We don't always know what to pray, do we? The best thing to pray is actually God's word. Because then what we're actually doing is joining our life with our sins and our weaknesses to the promises and the graces and the commands of God in scripture. Now, this is probably something that every Christian knows a little bit, but it's also a habit and a practice that has to be learned. You know, here's my life over here. Here are the scriptures over here. And actually the scriptures tell me how to pray about my life. So, what I would love you to do is what it says in that next box. So you've got three scriptures and two questions to ask of each. And what you're trying to do is join up life and scripture. So go for it. It's good to seek prayer like this, isn't it? You know, take that first verse from Ephesians. You're hacked off with another church member or family member or spouse or fill in as appropriate. I don't know, how might you pray without the counsel of scripture?
Lord, sort them out.
Oh, Lord, you have. Is this the ... that you have given me? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I am really struggling with my ... Lord, I need humility. And do you know what I mean? So good to pray like this. Or when you are terrified, perhaps so terrified that you can't pray. You know, oh Lord, I am just so scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Are you there? Are you on my side? Well, I need you to give me this kind of trust. You are my refuge. Help me to pour out my heart. Or when you're suffering, be it health or persecution or whatever it might be, again, there are many things that without the counsel of Scripture, you might be tempted to pray. They might be good things, they might not. But you know, here's just one Scripture that helps us to pray the kind of things God really wants for us. Prepare that weighty glory for me. You know, help me to endure through it. I know this is true. Help me to feel it, that this is true. So we pray, expressing our humility. It's just so wise and good to pray scripturally. Then lastly, actually, why not ask someone to pray like this for you? It's one thing to open up to the Lord and talk candidly to him. It's often harder to ask a friend. Pride resists being honest. We all have had the experience of having shared something and received a response that's less encouraging than you might have wanted. And I guess you've got a choice at that moment. Do you ever do that again or do you not? And we've all been there. Humility in Christian relationships. We're principally thinking church, but this applies equally to marriage and family among Christian friends. Why not start off by asking someone to pray for you? Now, a bit of common sense obviously needed how you do that. You don't share everything with everyone. But for most of us, I suspect, being that end of the spectrum is probably not our problem. Worth logging away too that, you know, when you pray persistently with someone, that, well, prayer builds intimacy. You know, men and women need to think about how they do and don't do that. If you're outside of a husband and wife team. But bottom line, God doesn't just want us to say help to him. He also wants us to say help to one another. It's a way we express humility and reach out for the good that we need. But also, as we increasingly become humble and needy helpers, we'll be best able then to help others. So, simple summary today. Godly relationships, Ephesians 4 verse 2, begin with all humility. How do you express that? Or how can you grow that attribute in you? Well, one way, with the scriptures' encouragements, ask someone to pray for you. So, we're going to pause there. There are some questions at the bottom of that handout there. Please work through those. Make sure you get to the last one, okay? So don't feel you have to exhaustively cover numbers 1 and 2 particularly. You might want to just try and join up one bit of life, your life, with a bit of scripture, if you can. But whatever you do, make sure you finish by praying. If you want to take this to coffee, that's fine. Just make your way through whenever you like.